Monday edition of Mr. Relevant, live from the Everlight Solar Studio, downtown Madison. I'm Alex Strofe with you, joined as always by producer Tiny Hands, producer Sweet 16. Hunter Vaughn is here. Hunter, your Marquette Golden Eagles going to the Sweet 16 for the first time in 11 years. Congrats, buddy. You feeling good?
I'm so excited. I'm just trying to soak this in. It feels so good to see them back, especially the way that Ben Brust did a lot of trash talking this week on ESPN Milwaukee and even here on ESPN Madison. So just feeling really good. I'm saving the tweet at him, though, because last year I tweeted at him after they beat Vermont in the first round, and then they completely crapped the bed against Michigan State.
Yeah.
So I'm saving that, and I'm hopefully saving that for a Final Four run.
Final Four. I
feel so good about this team.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about how they're playing. I'm nervous about some parts of it, but I'm just really happy overall.
I'm happy to hear that. We will talk Marquette in a little bit, as Marquette, two big wins over the weekend. They will play DJ Burns, future Green Bay Packers left tackle DJ Burns, and North Carolina State, the only double-digit seed that makes it to the Sweet 16. We'll talk Marquette a little bit later. But the conversation this weekend is not on Shaka Smart. It's not on Marquette. It's just not, at least here in Madison. That is not the focus on today. The focus today is, unfortunately, an 11-point loss in round number one for the 5-seeded Wisconsin Badgers as they lose 72-61 to the 12th-seeded James Madison Dukes. James Madison, look, I fully underestimated them. I downplayed their ability to play quality basketball. I downplayed their strength of schedule. I thought Wisconsin would win probably by 11, just like James Madison did. And ultimately, that was a game in which the Badgers got punched in the freaking mouth and never responded. Never responded. What'd they have, 5 points in the first 10 minutes? I mean, it was an embarrassingly bad effort by the Wisconsin Badgers. They looked like they didn't wake up. And by the way, that game was at like 9 p.m. locally, 10 p.m. Eastern. Looked like they had gone to sleep already for the next day. It was a horrible game for the Badgers. And it's what has now become the normal expectation in the NCAA tournament for the Wisconsin Badgers, that they're going to get punched in the mouth by a lower seed and lose early. It's been 7 years since the Badgers have made it to the second weekend. So all the smack talk that we as Badgers fans have done to Marquette the last 7 years of, oh, you can't make the second weekend. Sorry, we're the new Marquette. That's just the matter of the fact when it comes to the Wisconsin Badgers in the NCAA tournament. They can't get to the second weekend under Greg Gard. The effort, the energy, the inability to respond to adversity in that game against the 12th-seeded James Madison Dukes, flat out unacceptable. There is no way you can spin that game from Friday night for the Badgers and say, yeah, proud of their effort. Yeah, they beat Purdue the week prior. Guess what? It didn't matter. The Big Ten tournament, they look like a good basketball team. The NCAA tournament, they look like they belonged in the freaking WIAC. And that's no knock on the WIAC. I love the WIAC.
Yeah, be careful.
But that's Division III. And Greg Gard obviously has a background in Division III and the WIAC. But I'm pretty certain with the effort his D1 Big Ten basketball team put on the floor on Friday night, his D3 teams from back in the day could have beat the Wisconsin Badgers on Friday night. That was as flat out bad as I've seen that team play in a year where they played flat out bad quite a bit. You remember that Rutgers game in February where they go on the road to Piscataway and get run out the gym by a team that didn't belong in the NCAA tournament, didn't make the NCAA tournament? They lose by 22 in that game at Rutgers. That's the same team that played Friday night in the NCAA tournament. Those guys weren't ready. And it's not the first time we've seen this either, which is the disappointing part and the embarrassing part as a Wisconsin Badgers fan. To bring you behind the curtain, prior to the show, from noon to 12:30, I was on a meeting as we were, you know, talking about some specialty programming we'll have coming up, because it's the 10-year anniversary of that first Final Four team under Bo Ryan for the Wisconsin Badgers. A team that was terrific at responding to adversity, by the way. These last few teams for Greg Gard and the Wisconsin Badgers, once they get punched in the mouth, it's a first-round TKO. And that was the case Friday night. I never felt like they were in that game. Second half, I never felt like they were in that game. And that's the disappointing part. We're live with you on ESPN Madison's YouTube, Facebook, Twitter pages. You can chime in on Greg Gard, which we'll get to in a second, as well as TikTok. Hello, Nolan. Good to see you. Somebody is very excited about Arizona's potential in the Final Four on TikTok. That's why I love TikTok, man. We're just going to talk about whatever they want. But we need to talk about whether or not Greg Gard is the guy for the Wisconsin Badgers. And I'll start it with this. I have long been a Greg Gard apologist. I have long been maybe the biggest Greg Gard defender. I have long said Greg Gard is the guy for this job. The fact that I'm even questioning whether or not that's still the case is probably your answer. I don't know that now's the time, but I don't want to be one of those people that sits here and says, yeah, he needs one more prove it year. Because if you need one more prove it year, once again, you probably have your answer when it comes to Greg Gard. And that makes me sad because I think he underachieved. His team's underachieved. Makes me sad because I think he's a great coach. I think he has a spot within college athletics as a head coach. I think he can be a really good head coach in college basketball. But as I say all the time in the NFL with players, maybe it's true with Greg Gard here in college hoops, and that sometimes a change of scenery can be really good for somebody. And looking at the fact of this is a 5 seed, if they lose to Duke, right, and looking at what Duke did to James Madison, who did what they did to Wisconsin, right? They beat them by double digits. James Madison beat Wisconsin by double digits. They led the entire game. It was never close. I mean, it was at some points, but it was just very embarrassing. You never felt like the Badgers were going to win that game. There were maybe some points in the second half where I went, okay, but now you got to keep this run going in order to feel even pretty good about your chances, and it just didn't happen. But to see Duke do what they did to James Madison, they won by 40 points. It was 93-55 yesterday in that round of 32 game. That's what Duke would have done to Wisconsin, too. So, all in all, the answer is simple, unfortunately. And that is sometimes you need a change of scenery, and you need maybe a different leader in the locker room. And I mean, you can hear it in my voice, right? Like it pains me to say it, but I think it's time to move on from Greg Gard.
Well, you know, I think I was listening to the Duke James Madison game while I was driving back from my parents on Sunday. Yeah. And the first thing that got brought up when Duke went on that run early and really put that big lead up early on in the game, the first thing that gets mentioned is the fact that it looked like John Shire actually scouted James Madison properly and knew what they were doing, unlike Greg Gard.
Yeah.
So the fact that the conversation nationally automatically from that game started around Greg Gard not having his team ready to go for the NCAA tournament, the one point in this tournament where you know exactly who you are playing and you have multiple days to be ready for them and you can't scout them properly to know how to beat them, that's really, really bad. And I've been like you, Strof. I haven't wanted to see them pull the trigger, but I just think they need to. It's feeling like Paul Christ again. It's just feeling like the energy isn't there, and there's no reason to keep going with this.
It's disappointing, though, because, look, and obviously, you know, it sucks because Greg Gard is a good human being. Right, and he's done so much for the Madison area, and he's done so much at UW during his time as an assistant, now the head coach for the last several years. He's a good dude, and I think he's a good basketball coach. But you can't do this time and time again and have no accountability. And I saw a comment on TikTok, somebody watching along with us on the ESPN Madison TikTok, saying UW basketball needs to have the same standard as UW football and UW men's hockey. And look at what those programs did when they made leadership changes over the course of the past couple of years. Chris McIntosh, the athletic director at the University of Wisconsin, he fired Paul Chris midseason. Now, I am often in the camp that no coach deserves that, especially one like Paul Chris who had been successful. But I asked him the night Chris was let go. I asked Chris McIntosh at the press conference, why now? Why is the timing now, Chris? And he said it was over a conversation him and Paul had the night prior. Paul understood that a change needed to happen. And another good guy who was a great coach for a lot of his tenure at Wisconsin. But he accomplished more than Greg Gard. Paul Chryst did. He had Wisconsin in Big Ten championships games, which Greg Gard has as well. But he had them in national conversations consistently. He had great defenses and good offenses and constantly competing in the Big Ten until he wasn't. And that was the final straw. Chris McIntosh fires him in season, and about a month later, goes and makes debatably the biggest hire in terms of attention and energy and big swings the university has maybe ever seen in Luke Fickell. And while season one wasn't perfect and all sunshine and rainbows, it's hard to turn around a program. And I think Luke Fickell will ultimately be a great hire for the University of Wisconsin. Men's hockey. They move on from Tony Granato. They go get a guy that we now call Magic Mike, who has them in the NCAA tournament, a first-round matchup coming up this weekend for the men's hockey team. So to only have two wins in the NCAA tournament since they made the Sweet 16 in 2017, it's just unacceptable for a program that should be nationally recognized, that should consistently be top 25, that should consistently be one of the favorites in the Big Ten. Bo Ryan was an amazing coach. He made the NCAA tournament every single year he was the head coach at Wisconsin. He was top four in the Big Ten almost every year he was at Wisconsin, if not every year. 20 wins was the standard. And that's 20 wins is not a very high bar, by the way. I think the Badgers at 22 this year, 23. I'm very intrigued to see when/if the change is made. I honestly don't believe it will happen this year. I don't think it will. I think if it would have, I think it probably is already done. And maybe that comes today or tomorrow, but that's a decision you make either this weekend or early this week. And maybe those conversations haven't happened yet. But I would vote if I was a betting man, I would guess Greg Gard is the head coach next season. But as David chimes in on the YouTube chat, it's got to be a big tournament run or bust next year if Gard is back. And like I said, I think he probably is. But the fact that I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, but Hunter, you know as good as anybody, and as well as anybody, I have long defended Greg Gard.
Yes, you have.
I have always defended Greg Gard, and I have always thought he is the guy that can take this program back to a Sweet 16 or an Elite Eight or a Final Four, because I do see that potential in him. But how long is too long? And I after an embarrassing exit, in the fashion that it was, and this is not the first time it's happened under his watch, you have to start asking the question, can Chris McIntosh do it again? Can he go out and take a big swing in terms of his replacement?
You know, I think one of the other issues as well, and I've seen it pop up on the YouTube chat here, is the fact that the team that went to the Sweet 16 with Greg Gard, they were Bo Ryan's guys. Like, those were his recruiting classes.
But hold on. But Greg Gard was an assistant coach, so he's part of that recruiting class.
Yes.
And that's why those guys stayed there.
But he wasn't the guy that was in charge of that and setting up and saying, this is the direction we're going to go in. And now that he has been that guy, we've seen what's been happening. And we just saw it, Xavion Mitchell this last week. Great player from Oshkosh North. He goes and he commits to Iowa State.
To who's the head coach at Iowa State?
Well, he used to coach high school basketball here in the state of Wisconsin.
He was born and is a high school graduate. TJ Otzelberger is the head coach at Iowa State. So it's a name, by the way, who's in the Sweet 16. It's a name. I'm not saying it happens. I'm just saying if there is a name and if there's a guy that makes sense who has proven his worth at a smaller university who has not been renowned as a good basketball school over the years, fine basketball school. That name might make sense. It's Luke Fickell-esque in my mind. Just looking around some of the chats, and appreciate all you chiming in here, Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. That's Hunter Vaughn, producer Tiny Hands, Marquette fan. He's feeling a lot better than I am today. SDN 40 says, rumors the buyout is $22 million. I believe I read $12 million for the buyout for Greg Gard, which is about the same amount it was for Paul Christ. They were able to negotiate Christ down a little bit. I think it was down to $8 or $9 million. And I would imagine maybe that conversation hasn't happened yet, like I said. And Joseph says the same thing. I truly wonder if Gard and McIntosh have spoken yet. Oh, to be a fly on the wall in that room. Sure that. I think McIntosh believes in Gard, though. More so than he did in Christ. And more so than he did in Granato. And I again, this is where my Greg Gard apologist comes out. I would agree with that. I think Greg Gard has transitioned well into this new era of college basketball when it comes to NIL and the transfer portal. Shaka Smart, and again, we'll talk about Marquette in a second, but I'm just comparing Shaka to Greg Gard for a moment, because the programs are very similar in this way, is that they don't really use the transfer portal. They develop. They build chemistry. And it's worked out really, really well for Marquette now in year three of Shaka. Right? I understand Tyler Kolick was a transfer at one point, but he's your guy. And that could be the case with like an AJ Store for Wisconsin. Otherwise, it's recruitment. It's your true recruits, developing them and taking it to the next level. And experience does speak. I said this on last week. I think it was on Wilde and Tausch when I was filling in Friday. I think, you know, experience speaks so much to success in the tournament, right? Like a team like Kentucky, who is filled with NBA guys. I mean, shoot. The two guys that might get drafted first out of that played NCAA basketball in the NBA draft this year are Kentucky players. And Kentucky got bounced in the first round by a 14 seed at Oakland. But what does Oakland have? Experience and chemistry and tenure together, the core players. So I think Wisconsin's route has been correct because Marquette is proving it right. And other schools that are in this spot, not all of them, but a lot of them, UConn, has taken players, developed them, and gotten them to that next level. Something that you can knock Greg Gard for, whether it's fair or unfair, is development hasn't necessarily been a strong suit with some of these players. Is Chucky Hepburn a terrific or a totally different player than he was 2 years ago as freshman year? I would say he's all around a better floor general, but is his offensive game two times, three times as good as it was his freshman year 2 years ago? I don't know that I would say it was. Let's talk Connor Assijan, because I think he's a good case when you bring up the development topic. Connor Assijan was a terrific freshman. All-freshman selection for the Big Ten. Started 19 games last year. Was, I think, the second leading scorer on a team that lacked offensive firepower. Right? This was prior to the AJ Store arrival and the John Blackwell arrival. He was a guy that looked like he could be the face of this team for several years. And this year, it started really wacky, right? He didn't play the first couple of games. And it was blamed on a back injury. And then he just didn't play at all year. He started zero games. He averaged 7 minutes per game. And he just didn't really see the floor as much as a guy for a team that needed offense and wasn't very good on defense overall. He just felt like a guy that should have been on the floor more. And I think we all said that all season, right? Like, I'm not saying anything insane that hasn't been said before. I think something that was talked about a lot, and we talk Badgers basketball on the show a lot this season, was where's Connor Assijan? And it was always kind of just, he's not great on the defensive end. He struggles there. And we've got guys like John Blackwell and AJ Storr that can help offensively. And Max Klesmet, when he's hot, right? He needs to be on the floor. I just felt like Connor Assijan was mishandled completely. And it's unfortunate that he announces yesterday on social media he's entering the transfer portal. I think he'll go somewhere and be a stud. I don't know that it will be Power 6. I think maybe it could be, right? Like, Hunter, your conference, man. I would love to see Connor Assijan in the Big East.
I really could see that happening. I don't know why.
I just hope it's not a poverty program like Georgetown's been. Right? Yeah. Like, I would love to see him. And I don't know off the top of my head how many seniors are on some of these teams. So I'm just throwing out names. But what about like a Creighton? Could he be a guy on Creighton that contributes? I would say yes.
Yeah, I think so. I was even thinking the Seton Hall, St. John's teams, that they need something else to help kind of get them clearly in the committee's mind into getting into the tournament. He's a guy that could do it. He knows how to play at a high level in college basketball. I think he goes to kind of a mid-level Power Six school, maybe even like an Arizona State sort of thing, where it's like they're a fine program. They're not like a 2-3 win on the entire season type of school, but somewhere that he could just go, and maybe he's not great that first year, but then all of a sudden his senior year, they're in the tournament, and you're like, oh, Connor Assijan's playing in the Sweet 16. Awesome.
Yeah, no, I think it will happen, and I hope he winds up somewhere where he can be successful, and even if it's a mid-major, right, he's going to be the best player on that team, at least offensively. So I really like Connor. We aired the sit-down, what was that, back in November that I had with him on the show, and I just think he's such a cool kid. And, you know, he talking about like embracing the new era of NIL, he has totally made his presence known on social. He's one of the best in all of college basketball when it comes to that. And, you know, he's capitalized on his name, image, and likeness, right, is what the goal of NIL is. And I think he's done a really good job with that, but it hasn't overshadowed his ability on the basketball floor. And despite the tough times he went through this year, losing his starting spot, pretty much losing all of his playing time, he was still a great locker room guy. And I know the one knock that continues to be brought up, and I've actually seen it on multiple comment sections now, is the fact that 2 weeks ago, I think it was Badger Blitz reported Connor Assijan wouldn't transfer. The tough part for Connor is, what the hell are you supposed to say prior to the Big Ten tournament? He probably had his mind made up at that point. But what are you supposed to say to a reporter when he asks you, yeah, I'm leaving, see ya, I know I'm only going to sit on the bench in the Big Ten tournament when we play Purdue and Illinois. So yeah, I'm actually going to be peacing out, but I'll hang out while we try to make a run in the NCAA. Like, he can't. Of course he has to say he's staying. Is it dishonest? Is it a lie? Maybe. But I don't fault them for that at all. You want to be a good teammate. And he was just that to the very last day he was a Wisconsin Badger. So what are you supposed to say? You know? So I don't blame Connor one bit. I do not blame Connor one bit. I think it was probably the most predictable transfer we've seen in college basketball in a while. And I mean that anywhere, right? Like, we knew this was coming. If Connor was coming back, and we talked about it on the show, Hunter, when that report came out, I respect the hell out of him if he would have decided to stay. But I also completely get his decision to leave.
Yeah.
He was failed.
Yep. And this is just where, like, I am a huge fan of the transfer portal. Because otherwise he would have needed to go through a whole process, and it would have been a whole thing of like guards saying, well, you can't go to Iowa or Michigan State, and they're going to limit where he can go, and it just would have been a mess. Like, he needs to just go somewhere else and start over. So I'm a huge fan of this. I honestly think even going into college football, like, it's Connor Assijan transferring and Caleb Williams transferring from Oklahoma as being like the two ones where it's like, yeah. They need to just go somewhere else. Need to start over.
The Caleb Williams Oklahoma pull is a very good one. Nicely done by you, Tiny Hands. So, all right. So just to put a bow on the Badgers, and then we'll talk Marquette. I would be okay if the Badgers moved on from Greg Gard. I would also be okay if he's back for one more prove-it year. But we need to recognize, and I think Chris McIntosh in his conversations with Gard needs to recognize the seat is hot. I don't believe in in-season firings. It's just not my jam. It worked out okay for Ohio State. It worked out okay for the Paul Chryst firing. I don't subscribe to in-season moves. Unless you legitimately believe, like Gard was, that you have somebody on that staff that can take over and lead you to the promised land. But you tried that already in the basketball department. It's working out okay for Ohio State, and we'll see what they are next year. But I just don't like in-season moves, right? So essentially it's, hey, man, you got to make some moves in the transfer portal, because obviously Tyler Wall is gone now. And now Assijan will be gone. And some of your walk-ons, Ross Candelino and Luke Hartle, each entering the transfer portal as well for the Badgers. You got to make some action in the transfer portal. You got to have guys that can step up, and you got to prove you can develop players. And I think a couple you should circle right now, looking ahead to next season for the Badgers, is, are they significantly better than they were a year ago, or the two freshmen that played a lot? Nolan Winter, John Blackwell. What are they next year? how important are they in terms of offensive contributions and defensive? And how much better are they than they were a year ago? That is something to keep an eye on. And obviously, it's Chucky Hepburn's last hurrah next year. I mean, this is a team that's going to have a lot of experience coming back, assuming nobody else enters the portal. None of those names I just listed. You have Stephen Crowell back. He's the same player he was 2 years ago. You got to find a way to make him consistently a double-digit scorer and probably near a double-digit rebounder. He was too inconsistent this year. And I think he'd tell you that. So if Guard is back, those are things to look at. I'm okay if he's back. I'm also okay if they move on, which is the first time I've been there. And like I said at the top, me being okay if they move on from him probably tells you all you need to know when it comes to Greg Guard. All right, let's talk Marquette. Let's talk happy news, Hunter. You're fired up. You got your Marquette shirt on today, man. Marquette is... cough if you're seeing these. I'm not going to cough for you, but I will acknowledge that I am seeing your comments. I'm fired up about Marquette. Shaka Smart, man. It's a hell of a head coach. Marquette was awesome yesterday in their win. And look, I mean, the path for them was, I don't want to call it easy, but the path for them was certainly like, hey, man, best case scenario if you're the 2 seed. Because in the region, and now they play the 11 seed NC State, who's playing really good basketball, by the way, in the Sweet 16. But in their group of four, essentially, the path to the Sweet 16. Colorado, who they had to beat yesterday, the 10 seed. The other game was 11th seed NC State taking on 14th seed at Oakland, which means you play the winner of that game, another double-digit seed in the Sweet 16. So you should get to the Elite Eight pretty easily. And I wouldn't call it a failure. Not getting to the second weekend would have been the failure. And Marquette, look, they made it interesting, did Colorado yesterday. I mean, that's a team that scored 102 points in the round of 64. So, yeah, it's not going to be the easiest task in the world to slow them down. But, I mean, I thought Marquette was great yesterday, an 81-77 win. I thought Tyler Kolick was tremendous in only a second game back after the oblique injury. I thought he was awesome. I mean, he had some moments in the first half where you go, Tyler. Right, I think he had, five or six turnovers, and most of them were early. But I thought he was tremendous. I thought Chase Ross off the bench was huge for Marquette. And I like what Shaka does, man. He only goes 7 deep. He's got his guys. He sticks to those guys.
Well, they talked about it during the broadcast, but when you get to these national TV games like this in the tournament, all of those media timeouts are a minute longer to get in more commercial breaks. Right. So coaches take advantage of that. So you see the benches shrink as you get into the playoffs here. And I'm so excited for this team. I'm really trying to tamper my expectations though, because I'm just like, oh, if they keep playing like this, I know they didn't end up seeing, they're not going to see Kentucky. They didn't, get what would have been Texas Tech. I think it was on that side as well.
Dude.
But I
know.
They're all just.
I know I make fun of you.
Those are such good teams.
They are. I know I make fun of you for being a Doomsday fan. But you got to. I mean, especially when it comes to the NCAA tournament, it is so survive in advance.
Yep.
Last game is officially in the rearview mirror, dude. You won.
Yep.
You're good. Now you're on to NC State. And my favorite player in the tournament, DJ Burns. Oh. That dude is a big MF-er. And I love him. I love him, man. He's straight up bully ball in the NCAA tournament. This guy is a hero in the NCAA tournament. And we get to see him play Marquette on Friday. And I cannot wait for that matchup. Because DJ Burns is going to go for 30. And Tyler Kolick might go for 30. And Cam Jones might go for 30. I think we're going to have a heavyweight bout. Trading blows, a little good old-fashioned slobber knockers, Jim Ross says. I'm fired up about DJ Burns playing Marquette on Friday. But we'll get to that momentarily. When it comes to yesterday's win over Colorado, I thought they did what they had to do. They had a nice cushion and lead at halftime. They didn't play as well in the second half offensively, but they made the shots when they needed to. Chase Ross hits a huge shot. David Joplin hits some huge free throws. This is a team that looks like they're built for March. And to see Shaka Smart get emotional after the game about what this means to him, what it means to Marquette, it just proves to you that this was a match made in NCAA basketball heaven. For Shaka Smart and Marquette Golden Eagles, man, they've got their head coach for a long time. He's not going anywhere. And what he has done with this program, who for a decade underachieved, and to have them in the second weekend, I get why he's emotional. Because that is a huge, huge, huge monkey off Marquette's back. I said it at the top of the show. Every Wisconsin fan has been given hell to the Marquette fans for the last decade because they can't get to the second weekend. But now, thanks to Marquette's savior Shaka Smart and the best floor general in the country, Tyler Kolek, the narrative has flipped. It's Wisconsin who can't get to the second weekend as they fall flat on their face Friday. So if you're a Marquette fan, stand up, be proud, be excited. You're here, man, and you get to play America's sweetheart in the Sweet 16 in DJ Burns in North Carolina State. It's an exciting time to be a Marquette fan if you are one.
I'm incredibly excited, and I'm honestly even getting to the point of, you know, back in Marquette history when Al McGuire was at Marquette in the 70s, for that entire decade, Marquette had the second best winning percentage of any school behind John Wooden's UCLA teams. I'm feeling like this could be the start of that level of good basketball for Marquette. I'm honestly feeling that good about Shaka and the direction he has this program going. I'm so excited about them.
That's not doomsday. This is great.
And I'm not even feeling like it's a, like, oh, they're absolutely going to win on Friday night against NC State.
They're going to win on Friday.
But I'm not even, like, thinking about it that way. I'm just thinking about the fact that I actually feel energy for this program that I haven't felt since Buzz Williams took them to that Sweet 16.
No doubt.
And the fact that it's been a decade and I can finally actually feel excited about this team again is so refreshing, and it just makes me feel so good. Like, I'm feeling emotional about this team because I love Shaka so much. And, you know, his saying is the energy giving behaviors. That's high fives, like slapping the floor, all that stuff. I love it. I eat it up. He is my favorite coach of all of the teams that I cheer for.
Dude, I will tell you this. I've mentioned this before, but it just gets me so damn fired up. Shaka Smart, when he's coaching his ass off, gets into what I refer to as the crab-like position, where he's, and I'm wearing khakis today, so I can actually pull this off a little bit, where he's like squatting and he looks like an angry crab. And I love it, man. I love the energy from him. And he was chewing gum yesterday. The gum fell out of his mouth. He picked it up off the floor, popped it back in. 5-second rule for Shaka. I love that, dude. He's locked in. I really like Shaka Smart. I'm a Badgers fan over a Marquette fan, but I'm one of those people where I didn't attend either of the universities. So I just root for good basketball in the state of Wisconsin. I'm all in on Marquette. I'm all in on the bandwagon now. I went to a local joint yesterday to watch the game, Hunter. You know what I was wearing?
Your Tyler Kolek shirt.
Yeah, my Tyler Kolek NIL shirt. That's crooked. It's like, I don't know if they just made it really fast, but it's crooked. I love it, man. So, yeah, I was fired up about that. So, just real quick to put a bow on Marquette, and then we'll get to one shining moment, because I want to make predictions from the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, what we think might be in the one shining moment package. We'll get to one stroke one, and we'll wrap up the show. I've said for a couple weeks now, it's UConn, it's everybody else. But now that we're down to 16, I think we could pretty much tier these teams. And I'm not going to tier all 16, but you have great, which is UConn. And then you have really good. And here are the teams that I think fall into really good that are alive in the NCAA tournament. I think two of them are in the same region, and hopefully we see this in the Elite Eight. And that's Houston and Marquette. I think Houston and Marquette would put on probably the best game of the college basketball tournament. And I'm not joking when I say that. I think it could be that good. And there were some really good games this weekend. I think Purdue's there. I think Gonzaga is outplaying their seed, as they typically do. I put Gonzaga up there for sure. Otherwise, I have Creighton is solid. I think the Big East is playing good basketball right now. But I don't know if I'd put them in really good. I'd put Houston, Marquette, Purdue, Gonzaga. I think probably Tennessee. I think probably Arizona. UNC's in there, and I think Illinois is currently in there. And I think Iowa State's going to be a really good game in the Sweet 16. But then, like, you have, like, your sleeper teams. Who could maybe pull up an upset? San Diego State. Like, they're 5-seed. You get a rematch in the national championship game in the Sweet 16 with them and UConn. I think Clemson's dead. I think Bama's probably dead. I don't know if I believe in Arizona. NC State, it was a fun run. I think it ends on Friday. And Duke, they're playing good basketball. But I don't think they're getting past Houston, despite how much Houston collapsed last night. And made that game way closer than it should have been. What just happened there? You sprinted out of the studio, okay?
I was hoping you weren't going to, like, bring that up at all.
You can't do that and not have me not ask about it.
I just, with what we have coming up for One Shining Moment, we had our list together, and I realized I left that on my desk, so I just wanted to make sure I was able to follow. Yeah, I know. I just wanted to make sure I was able to follow along properly and was ready for what we had coming next.
So, I just have somebody, what happened to our Badgers? If you missed any of the conversation, we just spent 30 minutes talking about it. You can find Mr. Irrelevant, YouTube, ESPN, Madison, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Mr. Irrelevant. We spent the first 30 minutes of the show on the Badgers, so you can catch that conversation wherever you get your podcast. It will be posted as soon as we're done here from the Everlight Solar Studio. All right, I want to play a game. I am obsessed with the NCAA tournament, as we know. As I've just spent the first 40 minutes of the show talking strictly about college basketball in the state of Wisconsin. I am obsessed also with the One Shining Moment package they present at the end of the NCAA tournament. And I started this last year, and now I'm going to continue it this year, where I'm going to predict what I think will be in the One Shining Moment package from the first weekend. And I will circle back once One Shining Moment comes out and see if I got these right. I have six, actually, Hunter. I saw you wrote five. I have six One Shining Moment predictions that you and I came up with together that I think will be in the One Shining Moment package from the first weekend. There will be more than six, but I fully believe six. It's actually technically seven, but we're going to rope one of them together because it's all Oakland related. All right. Let's start with this one. The Baylor Cotton Candy Kid. There was a kid at the Baylor game just stuffing his face with cotton candy. I think he will make One Shining Moment. If you're watching on our YouTube stream, you'll see the video courtesy of CBS Sports. The kid's just like rocking out, stuffing his face with cotton candy. I think he gets into the One Shining Moment package. Adorable, by the way. Go Bears. James Madison over Wisconsin's making the One Shining Moment package. It was one of the biggest upsets in the first round. I think James Madison's getting their moment as they beat Wisconsin. Their celebration at the end of the game. Also celebration at the end of the game. How about the nerds from Yale? Ivy League does it again. Yale wins in the first round. Their final sequence was chaotic. It was like a basketball bouncing around like a pinball machine, and then celebration ensues. I think the nerds will get their shining moment from Yale. Shout out to the Ivy League. They do it again. I keep referring to him as the big MF-er. He's on the screen right now. DJ Burns gets his moment in One Shining Moment, leading NC State to the Sweet 16. The big MF-er is getting his shining moment in the One Shining Moment package. The easiest one is the Colorado game winner in the first round, in their first round win. They will get that shot will be in One Shining Moment. Their first round win over Florida, the highest scoring game of the tournament thus far, at least in regulation, 102-100. That game winner will be in there. And then the last one, it's really two, but last one, it's all Oakland related. Number one, Jack Golke. Absolute fire from beyond the arc. He breaks the NCAA tournament record for most threes in the first weekend. Coming off the bench, might I add, for the Golden Grizzlies. He gets in there. He gets his moment. But so does the president. Oakland's president had a Cinderella slipper in front of her at the round of 32 game against NC State. And they kept cutting to that on the TV. The Golden Cinderella slipper will make the cut for One Shining Moment. Those are my technically seven predictions for One Shining Moment. We'll come back and circle back and see how right I was on those. Thoughts?
I do want to address the big MF-er conversation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not as big as I was a few months ago. I'm really proud of myself. I've lost
proud of you too.
Thank you. I've lost close to 40 pounds.
Holy smokes. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm very proud of myself. But as a big guy.
Hold on. I'm not calling him fat. I just think he's a massive dude.
No, but it's that, and then the fact that after their win, so NC State, if you follow Marquette at all.
You were bothered by this.
Yeah, if you follow Marquette at all, they get milkshakes after their wins. It's been their thing since Shaka has been there. NC State apparently does ice cream. So CBS decides, oh, let's be funny. We're going to go and give the big guy on a post-game interview some ice cream and try and get him to eat it on TV. Look at the big guy as he eats some ice cream.
Bro, I don't think that was their intention.
They don't do that if it's the point guard.
I think they might.
I don't think they do.
Because
and it bothered me a lot.
So let me give you a TV equivalent, right? Because I get your point, and I know it bothered you. You brought it up earlier today, and I'm glad you brought it up here. So Thanksgiving Day, where I forget what network it was, but somebody snubbed Jordan Love of a turkey leg this year. Like, they don't bring over the O-lineman for that. They bring over whoever the best player is. DJ Burns just happened to be the best player in that game. They probably had the ice cream ready for whoever the best player was. It just happened to be the big fella.
But when they do it for Thanksgiving, that is a tradition that they do every year. This was a one-off thing that I've never seen them do before in the tournament.
Yeah, but it's an NC State tradition.
Okay, but I've never seen them do it to a Marquette guy.
Maybe they will.
And Marquette does the milkshakes every time.
But maybe they will. Maybe that wasn't as well known as the ice cream for NC State.
They've been doing it for three straight years.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. But they haven't won a game in the tournament in the last 3 years.
They beat Vermont last year. Thank you very much.
Did they?
Yeah. And then...
lost to who? Do you remember?
Then they lost to Michigan State.
That's right.
Yes, because Tyler Kolek had some turnover issues.
I'm sorry. I'm referring to NC State.
Oh, NC State. I don't think they
won a game in the tournament the last 3 years.
Yeah. So I'm saying Marquette with the milkshakes.
Right. Yeah, they won last year over Vermont. The Catamounts. They lost this year to Duke. Tough break for the Catamounts. They're always there, though. Like, it feels like the last 5 years, Vermont's been in the tournament every year.
Oh, it's almost every single year they're in the tournament.
They're due for a win one of these years. Keep that in mind.
They had one a while back.
Yeah, that's fair. It's fair. All right, just clean up on here. Where do I find the article? The 15 ideas of head coaches. I did not write an article, if that's what you're asking, but TJ Otzelberger would be the top of my list from Iowa State. I think there's other names that you could float out there, but I mean, Hunter, tell me if I'm nuts for this. Is there any chance, let's say the Badgers move on from guard, is there any chance they're calling Marquette and saying, hey, we're interested in Shaka? He's an Oregon guy. He's from the Madison area.
I don't think so. Just because I don't think they're going to pay him enough to leave.
That's fair.
Like, I think at this point, the only schools that pay Shaka enough to leave would be Duke, North Carolina, maybe Arizona, if UCLA really wanted to, like, go all in. But it's got to be, like, a blue blood type of program for him to leave at this point.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's a Marquette lifer, to be real honest with you. But if I'm Chris McIntosh, I'm picking up the phone, at the very least. You could say no chance, hang up, click. Okay, at least I tried.
Yeah, see what his agent says.
Yeah, I'd make the phone call. All right, time now for What's Drift Learn as we wrap up the show. Fun one today, as we talked all things college basketball. Not so fun Wisconsin conversation, fun Marquette conversation. I'm excited for the Golden Eagles. What's Drift Learn? We stay in the world of college basketball, except we go to the women's side. And we go to maybe the most polarizing figure in all of women's college basketball, who is not Caitlin Clark. And I don't know that I would necessarily call Caitlin Clark polarizing as much as just fantastic. When it comes to polarizing, though, nobody more polarizing than LSU head coach Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey holds a press conference over the weekend, and she calls a reporter from the Washington Post, quote, sleazy, end quote, and then threatens to sue said reporter for a, quote, hit piece, end quote. Now, the Washington Post has not released an article on Kim Mulkey yet, but Kim Mulkey says she's hired defamation lawyers and is ready to sue the Washington Post for a hit piece. I don't know what that could be about, but I'm going to be honest with you, Hunter. I don't know if I'm hiring a defamation lawyer and threatening to sue one of the largest newspaper publications in the entire United States for something that hasn't been released yet, unless I get something to hide. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. I am by no means a lawyer. I am by no means saying she has anything to hide. I am just saying it certainly sounded that way to me as an average bystander when I watched the press conference that was shown on SportsCenter over the weekend. Kim Mulkey threatening to sue the Washington Post. I don't know. She has some skeletons in her closet. Like, that's the way it came off to me. And look, I don't want her to sue me. So I'm by no means saying that she definitely has stuff to hide. Maybe she's totally innocent. Right? Maybe she is. And I'd be intrigued to read what the Washington Post has on her. I'd be intrigued to hear more from her on the situation. But to come out in defense mode that quickly, that took me off guard a little bit. What was your reaction to all this Kim Mulkey news over the weekend?
Well, so the rumor is that it is some sort of article about the culture of her teams. She was formerly at Baylor before she took this job at LSU. And there's been rumors for a few years about the type of culture she has with her team. And apparently the Washington Post has been reaching out to her for like 2 years to try and interview her and like get her response to these other interviews with past players of hers that they've done. done, and they've just gotten to the point where they're like, you know what, we're just going to write it. You've failed to respond to it, so we're going to put this out. And the thing people also need to remember is that the Washington Post, they don't mess around with stories like this. So, like, they have their own lawyers who are going through this. And defamation is really hard to prove.
For sure.
Especially if you're going to go up against the Washington Post. I think it's a bold move on her end to just be like, I'm going to try and get out in front of this and bring attention to something before it even comes out.
It was bold. We'll see what comes of it. By the way, shout out to TikTok, man. We don't stream on TikTok every day, but they're calling your ass out, Hunter, and they got you. I got the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article right in front of me from St. Patrick's Day of last year, March 17, 2023. Jamie Erdahl on the CBS broadcast following Marquette's win over Vermont tried to hand a milkshake to Cam Jones. Shaka Smart was next to Cam Jones, said, Jamie, you keep the milkshake. We've got him back at our hotel waiting for us. Jamie Erdahl took a sip of the milkshake and said, quote, it tastes like victory, end quote, on national television. So there you go. They did it to Cam Jones.
Okay. I didn't remember that. My bad. I apologize.
There we go. See? That's what you do when you make mistakes. Yeah. Apologize.
See, I own it. I made a mistake. That is something that I am very sensitive as a fellow big guy. When people try to use that to be, oh, you're the big guy, you're the funny guy, let's have some fun at the expense of the big guy. So I wanted to defend DJ Burns, and that was my bad.
He's a big MF-er, man. Future Packers left tackle. I think he might have. I don't know if he has a football background at all, but he might have a football future.
Yeah. He moves really well, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's basketball for a dude, right? Like, quick feet. And maybe that could suit him if he wants to pursue a career there. I mean, he might have a professional basketball career waiting for him as well. I just don't know that it would be in the NBA. But anyway. All right, more college hoops talk this week. Looking forward to it as we're back with you Wednesday here on Mr. Irrelevant. This is a fun one. I'm intrigued to see what comes of the Badger stuff. I would guess guard is safe. But knowing how our show operates, Hunter, I'll say that, and in 5 minutes we'll get news. Although I don't think we will. I think Greg Gard will be the head coach of Wisconsin next year. Appreciate you all hanging out with us today as we caught you up on all things NCAA tournament here in the state of Wisconsin. And looking forward to talking more about that coming up Wednesday, as well as I think it's finally time to talk some draft. We will do that this week as well as the Packers get ready for the NFL draft. Only a month away. It's coming up quick. Can't wait for it. This has been Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Stroff. We'll talk to you Wednesday. Peace.